Hello, and welcome to Leading Community Colleges in California, a podcast that goes in-depth with California's most effective leaders in higher education in the largest public sector of higher education in the United States, California Community Colleges. I'm your host, Larry Galizio, President and CEO of the Community College League of California. In this episode of Leading Community Colleges in California, we speak with Cassandra Flandre Nguyen, who is the president of the Student Senate of the California Community Colleges and a student at Orange Coast College, and Nicole Nguyen, who is the student trustee representative on the League's Community College Trustee Board. Join us to learn more about these statewide leaders, their personal stories, and their goals and priorities for California Community College students. Nicole Nguyen, California Community College Student Trustee of the League, and Cassandra Flandre Nguyen, Student Senate for California Community Colleges President. Welcome to our podcast, Leading Community Colleges in California.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to have student leadership for California Community Colleges. This is our first podcast of 2024, and we think this is a interesting and appropriate way to start the new year. So thank you again. Just to start off, because our listeners primarily will be college presidents, chancellors, trustees, and then others who are familiar or interested in California Community Colleges. So what we'd like to do on this podcast is, you know, learn a little bit about people's backgrounds and how they came to the particular positions that they're in now. So if I can start with you, Nicole, if you wouldn't mind, just can you tell us a little bit about your background, maybe where you grew up and anything about your education or interests or family that you feel comfortable, and then certainly telling us what you do now, where you are at school, and then we'll go from there.
Of course. Well, I was born and raised in San Jose, California, which is part of the Bay Area, Northern California. Growing up, I kind of always knew that I was going to be community college bound. I come from a low-income family with one working parent, and I struggled a lot in high school. I actually had like a 2.9 GPA. I failed quite a bit of classes, mainly because I struggled a lot with the academic environment that I grew up in. You know, the Bay Area is notorious for being quite competitive in terms of academic success. And I kind of, you know, fell apart with that pressure and really failed to kind of rise above these expectations that were set for me from a very young age. So in high school, I always knew that I was going to go to community college. But what I didn't know is how I would make the most of my time at community college. I knew that the opportunity going into community college really gave me a second chance, you know, to really show that I can do well academically, step up into lots of opportunities that I have never stepped into before. And so I now attend Hill College. I'm a second year sociology major. And as mentioned, I served as a student trustee. And I, going into community college, I really think I went in with the mindset of, oh, this is my second chance. This is really the opportunity to show that I can do a lot of things and capable of success in various aspects that I was never really familiar with before, you know, this term of success. And so I really took it upon me to never say no when there was an opportunity presented to me. And so I think this mindset has really helped me in terms of, you know, being strong-willed to voice the students, you know, voice my own thoughts and really challenge societal norms that are detrimental and voice the students. So that's a little bit about me.
Fantastic. Thank you. Cassandra.
Yeah. So about me, I was born and raised in Orange County, California, in the heart of Little Saigon in Westminster. So growing up, I really had that strong tie to my Vietnamese heritage. I'm half French and half Vietnamese, so I had that typical Asian kid experience where I didn't know which culture I fully aligned with. I felt like I wasn't white enough to be part of like my French culture, but also wasn't Vietnamese enough to align with that culture of mine as well. So growing up, having that strong association with my Vietnamese culture, I would say was a strong tie to my identity and kind of where I found myself leaning towards. So with that, I feel like I was able to really better understand myself and how I took situations, because growing up, I had a lot of people telling me that my white mom looked like my babysitter, or there's no way that she's my mother, sort of things like that, that are very interesting to deal with. But getting into high school and kind of dealing with that new environment and understanding myself better academically, I feel like I was able to better understand like kind of how I took situations. For me, I never really knew that I would go to community college. I always knew it was an option, but I also come from a low income family, and I was actually the first one to graduate high school in my family. So there wasn't a conventional path set for me. So I kind of took it as like the opportunities are boundless for me. And that sort of lining up with what Nicole said as well, I never said no sort of thing. I was always a person who was willing to go outside of my comfort zone as a kid. But going into community college, I didn't take full advantage my first semester of the opportunities I had. I sort of just went to class, like talked to some professors, went back home, worked a full-time job, things like that, where I just didn't fully understand the opportunities that were present for me. And then once I got into my second semester, I got involved in student government, went to Sacramento for lobby day, and that's where I really started to understand like what I'm actually passionate about. And for that, it's making sure that we prioritize the student voice and making sure that students are at the table. And that sort of lines up with what I do now as president of the Student Senate.
Fantastic. So Cassandra, just staying on you for a second. So where are you in terms of exactly what year are you in? Because you talked about their you might have said it and I might have missed it. So where are you in your academic career in terms of year and yeah?
Yeah, so I'm a second year at Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa, and I'm also a sociology major on the pre-law track.
Oh, interesting. So both of you have strong interests in sociology. Fantastic. So that's very helpful. That's very helpful. So Nicole, would you mind if you could? It would be helpful if you could explain to people who perhaps don't know, what does a student trustee do, and then a little bit about your role at the statewide level, working with the Community College League's trustee board and your role on that.
Yeah, so the student trustee plays a crucial role in representing the interests and perspectives of the student body, typically in governance or of an educational institution. And it's typically elected or appointed from the student population. And the student trustee kind of serves as a liaison between the students and the institution's board of trustees or governing body. And their responsibilities typically include attending board meetings, contributing to discussions on policies and initiatives that affect the student community, ensuring that student voices are heard and considered in crucial decision-making processes. And so I guess in essence, the student trustee acts as a vital bridge between the students and the administration, ultimately advocating for student needs, concerns, welfare, and helping to shape the educational environment that is responsive to and supportive of the student community. So I am the student trustee on the Foothill De Anza Community College District, which is a sister district. And I work closely with the Board of Trustees, the college chancellors, presidents, and have discussions with them about what the students want, what the students want to see from the board. And with this, I also have a lot of conversations with the students as well, of course. So it really is kind of that bridge between administration and the students, which typically seems to be a very big gap. And so it's really important to kind of close that gap and ensure that there is constant communication on both ends. In terms of my role with the California Laguna Community College's trustees board. It pretty much extends in a similar fashion. I was elected by the student trustee population within the California Community College system. And the board consists of 21 members that are elected on a statewide basis by the 73 district governing boards. And I sit along the statewide trustees and am likewise a student representative, where I voice the student perspective and concerns in the discussions made by the CCCT board.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. Very, very helpful. And certainly like that bridge metaphor. And you're absolutely right. It is very helpful and needed to have that student voice, because it's challenging for trustees, really the trustees on the board, and then administrators who are not directly working with students, you know, so focused on policy and other matters. So it's extraordinarily helpful to get that perspective. So it's a key role. So Cassandra, can you talk a little bit about your role as president of the Student Senate?
Yeah, so for me as president, technically speaking, I serve as the official spokesperson of the Student Senate. The Student Senate is the officially recognized representation of the students in California Community College system. So it tends to be a pretty burdensome role, in the sense of understanding that representing 1.9 million students means that I need to best represent all the interests. So as Nicole mentioned, talking to a lot with different types of students, and a lot of what I do on a day-to-day basis as president is really just making sure I'm attending meetings with our external partners, like the Faculty Association, Academic Senate, and so on, so that we can ensure there's a student voice at their meetings as well. Like just yesterday, I'm currently in San Diego for our monthly Board of Directors meeting, and I attended the Academic Senate Executive Committee meeting yesterday. And with that, we just ensure that people know the importance of having that student voice at the table. And not only that, but making sure they understand the importance of it as well, in the sense that students are more than just a seat to hold, but are people who can participate in discussions about policy, about systemic changes, and so on. So that's more of the concept of what the president does. In the sense of in the Student Senate, what I do is I chair over the Board of Directors, the statewide Board of Directors for the California Community College system. So I serve on a board, I serve and chair on a board of 26 members who are elected by the state and also their regions as well. We have two region representatives amongst our 10 regions, and also have five vice presidents of different branches. So we all work cohesively together on policy changes, but also work on making sure that we are prepared for upcoming events, such as General Assembly or Advocacy Academy. Overall, like what I do as president is just make sure that we have that communication in line between the students and also with our statewide partners and federally as well, when we go to DC and lobby for things as well.
Wonderful. So that sounds like a lot of time and a lot of work. So if you don't mind me asking, is there any type of financial or other compensation for you or support? Because clearly this is a very time-consuming endeavor. So Cassandra?
Yeah. There is. I think one thing I'm very proud of when I say I'm from the Student Senate is our ability to provide fair compensation for our students, especially our student leaders as well. So for the president, we have a $1,000 monthly stipend, which I'm very grateful for. And I do feel it is accurate to the amount of effort and traveling that is required for the role. And for every member on our board of directors as well, there are varying amounts of stipends. Like for our regional representatives, they receive, I believe, $300 monthly stipend. For our vice presidents, they receive a $500 monthly stipend, and so on. We make sure that even all the way down to our delegates, they receive a monthly stipend as well of $100, so that we can ensure we're properly compensating our student leaders for partaking and representing their fellow students.
Thank you. So same question for you, Nicole. Might be a different answer, but...
Yeah, so I am very grateful to be receiving a stipend of $500 a month. This isn't the case for many student trustees across the state. I've definitely had plenty of conversations with other student trustees who talk about how they don't receive compensation for their role, or they do receive compensation, but it's quite little compared to the stipend that I'm receiving or other student trustees are receiving. So it's definitely kind of varying in terms of how student trustees across the state are compensated for the work they do. This is something we're also trying to address as kind of a committee. We have the Student Trustee Advisory Committee that we also talk about issues that align with the student trustees' concern and the rest of the students across the state of California. And so making sure that the student trustees and student leaders across the state are equitably kind of compensated for the work that they do is one of our priorities as of now.
Thank you. Right. So for those unfamiliar with the California Community Colleges, we have locally elected boards of trustees, and they set the parameters on what you just talked about, the remuneration for student trustees. So we have incredible, just as we have incredible diversity of districts, locations, and everything, we have a diversity of approaches to how the student trustees are compensated. Would you mind, speaking of the role of the student trustee, could you talk a little bit about the legislation that was passed for the advisory vote?
Yeah, so AB 1541, this was a very big concern among the student trustees back in August or in 2023 before AB 1541 is in place. It's currently in place now. But many student trustees felt that they weren't equally represented on their boards just because that they didn't have an advisory vote on their boards. So AB 1541 puts in place a requirement for boards to ensure that students receive an advisory vote and are able to vote on the premise of concerns that that align with the Board of Trustees in that district. And so we had a lot of conversations about how we can ensure that student trustees are using their advisory vote to the best that they can. And this kind of aligns with the role of the student trustee and, voicing the students' opinions and voicing that very directly to the board. Because in many cases, you really have to be on your toes and really stand your ground when you want to talk about the student perspective and emphasize that this is what the students want. And the advisory vote really grants kind of a pathway to ensuring that the student voice is directly heard on the Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the League was a proud supporter, co-sponsor of that bill because the belief of what you just described. So, and it's more than symbolic. I think if you talk to any locally elected trustee, they will, it means a lot to not just experience the vote, the advisory vote, but the explanation or the communication and explanation surrounding the perspective of students at the district. So it's really important. It's really important. So now I'm going to ask you a difficult question because it's only been today's Friday. It's only been 2 days. So it might be a little bit unfair, but, and you're so busy, both of you, but I'll make this easier. Cassandra, I'll start with you. I'll make it easier in the sense that I'm going to identify, you're not talking over each other, but any reaction to whatever you might know or have read about the governor's budget proposal for education or really for anything?
Yeah, so the release of the governor's budget 2 days ago was definitely one at the Student Senate we've been greatly anticipating. Our associate director, Stephanie, was constantly refreshing the budget page for the release of the breakdown. And since then, we've been on high alert in the sense of attending briefings on the budget, making sure we're getting a very solid and objective understanding of the budget. In regards to what Governor Newsom discussed and what he established in the budget, we're very grateful for his emphasis on workplace development. And we are incredibly grateful as well for his ability to still make us have not as much of a cut as we anticipated. The Legislative Analyst Office anticipated a much greater cut for us. But when it came out, it's a lot less than we expected. So we're all very relieved. We all took a sigh of relief when we read the budget. But of course, there's always improvement to be done. This was just the release of the budget. We all know that from now to about May, there are going to be a lot of changes going on as we have press releases released by the different external organizations. Another thing that we're really grateful for is his ability to keep into account not only the Student Senate, but also our neighboring and external community college associations as well. His ability to make sure that we're able to commit to the success of the students is what we at the Student Center are grateful for. However, we are going to continue pushing for CalGrant reform and making sure that the governor understands just how important it is for us to have that allocation of funds towards CalGrant reform, because it's at the forefront of our priorities.
Thank you. Yeah, that is going to be a challenge, but you're right. CalGrant was structured in an era before the incredible non-tuition expenses that any California resident has to face and confront. And so community college students need a state fund that understands the challenges they face. And so it was great that the advocacy of both the Student Senate and the student trustees and many others were able to get structural reform, but now it has to be funded. And in this budget, it's going to be a challenge. So we'll be right there with you trying to advocate for that. Nicole, how about you or any conversations perhaps you've had with fellow student trustees?
Yeah, we've had a few conversations about the budget. I think, as President Flandre Nguyen mentioned, CalGrant is still at the forefront again of our priorities right now. And as you mentioned, we are looking towards seeing that funding being put in place. Now that we do see the structural changes, we would love to see this taken another step further, ensure that funding is there to ensure the success of students within our system.
Right. And your testimony and the testimony of students and communication with decision makers will be the most powerful. So we're certainly looking forward to working with both the Student Senate and the student trustees to partner with other associations and groups to try to get that across the finish line. So that's great. Just staying on the idea of state government. So what are other priorities that you have for this legislative session, either policy bills or budget, apart from trying to get those funds to support the structural change in CalGrant reform? So Cassandra, can I start with you?
Yeah, so right now we finalized our legislative priorities, and our biggest theme for this upcoming legislative time is consolidating what we have and creating what we need. That's the theme of our priorities, and you'll see that a lot of what we're focusing on in regards to what we sponsor and co-sponsor. But beyond that, almost all the policy discussions we have are going to be centered around that idea. So a huge part of what we have been discussing have been about basic needs and how basic needs for students are basic rights, because ultimately investing in basic needs is investing in tomorrow's future and our professionals and entrepreneurs. So that's been a huge thing that we've been discussing as of late. But another thing is also making sure we're talking about underrepresented students as well. We want to focus on all students because, as we all know, the California Community College system admits the top 100% of students. With that in mind, it means we need to understand that we're not just gearing towards maybe one or two demographics. We're making sure that those who are underrepresented aren't falling through the cracks of our system and are instead being bolstered up through the system itself by those systemic changes we want to make. So that's been a huge sort of theme that we've been establishing. And you'll see that in the coming months as well, as we kind of see bills coming out and you kind of see what the Student Senate is prioritizing, you'll see that theme consistent throughout it all. So that's been what our priorities are going to going to be and are considering to be in terms of basic needs.
Thank you. Nicole?
Definitely similarly over here as well. I think our primary concern among the student trustees often revolve around accessibility of basic needs. Just this includes like financial challenges such as tuition fees, cost of textbooks, other educational materials, which can be a significant burden. And one of our other priorities that we are looking at is focusing on advocating for improved and the expansion of on-campus housing options across the California Community College system. Given the rising cost of living and the increasing number of students facing housing insecurity, this issue is very crucial. And we've had quite a bit of conversations surrounding this goal. And our efforts will be directed towards influencing policy changes and kind of securing funding in the current legislative session to support the development of affordable, accessible on-campus housing facilities. And this kind of initiative not only aims to alleviate the financial burden on students, but also seeks to create, kind of alluding to what President Flandre Nguyen said about recognizing underrepresented students, to create a more inclusive, supportive environment that enhances the success and overall student well-being. And so by prioritizing on-campus housing, we want to address the fundamental barrier of to education and ensure that community college students have a stable and conducive living environment that supports their educational journey.
Wonderful. And we have a lot of new legislators. I mean, clearly, in the last legislative session, I think because of the efforts of the Student Senate, student trustees, and a lot of advocates, not just last legislative session, but it's been made clear how important basic needs are, and the food insecurity and housing insecurity and all the costs have been a topic of a lot of discussion and advocacy. And I think it's paid off, but this is an ongoing effort. And especially with new legislators coming on board, they may not understand if they have not gone to a community college. A lot of people still have this old notion that a community college student necessarily lives at home and doesn't have to worry about the housing costs, which is in some cases might be true, but in many, if not most cases, it's just not accurate. And it's so expensive, the non-tuition costs in California. So thank you for that advocacy. And that's going to be really central. You're also creating the foundation for future years, to the extent you as student leaders are making the case for the current need, and you're also establishing a foundation for your successors to continue to make that, because I think all of us interested in community college students and success know that these issues are not going away, and we have to maintain them. So we've talked about basic needs, we've talked about student voice and advisory vote, but just staying on the whole notion of advocacy, are there any particular events or plans that either you have in your role or you and your colleagues have that you would like to promote or publicize or discuss that will be happening over the next number of months during the legislative session, whether those are conferences or visiting the legislature or anything else? So I'll start with you, Cassandra.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, SSCCC in our board of directors, we establish a lot of planning for our committees and our conferences as well. One notable one I can say, especially that one that is as relevant as the discussion we just had, is our advocacy visits that we hold in Sacramento. Our upcoming one is going to be March 7th in conjunction with the Chancellor's Office March in March, so that we can work together and not only bring students to the Capitol, we're discussing buying out buses and busing students from from the underrepresented areas of California, like the Central Valley and up north in California as well. It's the sort of discussion that we're having, and that is going to be one of our upcoming events in terms of advocacy. Another one that we're in the midst of planning is our General Assembly as well, which is the annual convening of all 116 colleges and their delegates to not only elect next term's statewide representatives, but beyond that to vote and decide on resolutions that directly shape next year's priorities and what next year's board and student leaders are going to focus on. So that's a very excited one. And I personally believe it's a great mix of not only student engagement, but also allowing for students to understand just how pertinent their voice is and the efforts that they have been working towards to all term pay off in the end when they see the voting and the debates and discussion on variety of resolutions and bills. So that's what's coming up as of late for us. And I'm personally very excited to see who is my successor.
Yeah. So the march in March, you've already set a date of March 7th, which is a Thursday.
Yes.
Could you just talk a little bit more about what that is and how that works or what the goal is?
Yeah, so March in March is hosted by the Chancellor's Office in conjunction with our different external partners like SSCCC, FAC, etc. The intent behind March in March is for us to basically have the idea of all the California Community College representatives and system banding together and just mass advocating for the bills that we want passed that directly benefit our system. What SSCCC is planning on doing, kind of capitalizing on the opportunity we'll have on that same day, and is why we establish our advocacy visits to be the same day right after it, is so that our students can have the opportunity to be in direct contact, in contact with their representatives at the Capitol. And not only that, be involved and be the ones heralding these policy conversations with staff and with the leaders as well, so that they can kind of talk about, like, these are the bills that we see are coming out. We want you to support it. We want you to put it out there. This is what students are talking about, and this is what we expect you as a representative to support and stand behind as well. That's the overall concept of it. In terms of what the day is going to look like, it's going to be a lot of traveling for sure, especially for our Central Valley ones that are coming out. But we're very hopeful that with the opportunities and making it as equitable as possible in terms of accessibility, we're going to have a great ton of Central Valley representatives there. But once everyone is there and situated at the Capitol, we're going to do a lot of discussing kind of what we want the day to look like and the conversations we're going to have. We're also preparing talking points for our students, because we understand that all of our students have the same common vision, but not all of them will have the same amount of resources as other students may have in terms of understanding the language, understanding what exactly they're talking about. So on the Student Senate side, we're making sure that we're providing the students the language that they want to use, because also keeping in mind, we have a lot of students where English isn't their first language. So keeping those in mind, we're going to provide them with speaking points on a variety of topics they may want to talk about, like basic needs, student affordability, and disenfranchised students, etc. And we are also planning on organizing our students in terms of, like, if you're a Pell Grant recipient, then you'll probably want to talk to a representative who has worked on Pell Grant bills, things like that. Just making sure we're aligning our students with the representatives who will be the most knowledgeable on the issues they're passionate about. So that's what the day is going to look like. And overall, we're going to make sure we're providing our students with the right representatives and the right language to make sure they know what they're talking about. And also so that they can, you know, enjoy the Capitol, understand how the system works firsthand.
Yeah, you can do all that and also have some fun and meet people. And hopefully you'll also work at getting some good media, at the very least, the student publications and others. But I would hope that you can get some major media. So that's exciting. That's fantastic. Thank you for that explanation. Nicole, what else, what events or activities do you foresee being significant over the next number of months?
Well, for one, I really want to shout out the League for the 2024 Annual Legislative Conference. I really appreciate the League's effort in ensuring that student voices are heard. But this kind of alludes to One of the panels that I will be participating as a student representative on, which is the 50% law panel. I know that the 50% law has been a topic of discussion among many students and student trustees. And for those who don't know, the 50% law is just a regulation of the California Community College system that requires each community college district to spend at least 50% of its current expense of education on the salaries and the benefits of classroom instructors. There's been a lot of talk within students, you know, about how the 50% law disproportionately affects their kind of student body and their student life on these campuses, just because that these are typically community colleges that have a much more smaller population. And so the 50% law really kind of goes into effect and can detrimentally affect their student life and other aspects of campus other than classroom instruction in many ways. And so I'm looking forward to the annual legislative conference and talking about a little bit more about the student perspective and making that heard among the CEOs, trustees, chancellors, administration, just to kind of get a better understanding of how the students feel about the 50% law and what that really means. I'm also looking forward to the ACCT National Legislative Summit. This summit attracts over 1,000 student leaders across the nation, really, from various institutions, and kind of stands as the foremost advocacy event for community colleges in Washington, D.C., and really serves as a crucial platform to highlight the significance of community colleges to members of Congress and the administration. So definitely looking forward to that as well. I'm really looking forward to hearing about the various perspectives of community colleges across the nation and seeing how that kind of differs or is similar to what we experience here in California.
And so on that last point, can I ask, have you been to the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.?
I have not. This will be my first time.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. Well, my plan is to be there alongside and advocating. So it's exciting, and hopefully it won't be too cold for us. But it's great that you're able to attend that and speak to members of Congress and leaders of agencies. So that's very helpful. So as you were talking, I was thinking that, thank you for promoting the League's legislative conference at the end of this month as well. And we're grateful that you're going to participate in the panel. We've had overwhelming registration demand, and we're actually in the process of trying to get more space to allow for more registrants. And I think we're actually going to be successful there. So that's exciting. But the 50% law is a real challenge, a 1961 law that narrowly defines direct instruction and doesn't really allow for colleges, the diverse colleges that we have, to have the flexibility that they need to make the decisions. Because student services, advising and counseling and other things are so critical for success. I mean, that's been made very clear just in what you've talked about, basic needs and just advising and other ways that faculty and others at the colleges help. So we're coming here near the end here. Let me just coming back to you, each of you personally. Cassandra, do you have particular or specific future plans that you care to share, or you're just taking it one day at a time, or what? I'm sure the listeners would love to know, because you're obviously really successful. Both of you are so incredibly articulate and well-spoken, and people are curious what you're thinking of next.
Yeah, so for me, I finished submitting I'm in the application cycle right now. So
oh wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is quite a bit, especially because I have a bad tendency to follow the saying, a diamond is only formed under pressure. So that's fancy for procrastinating on my applications, but I got it submitted. I actually, Nicole and I were texting during the UC application cycle, and it was very nice to have that camaraderie. But I'm in the application cycle. My hopes are to transfer in the fall of 2024 to a university that accepts me and gives me good financial aid, because for me, as a person who supports my family a bit financially and also just have are from a low income family, financial aid is of the utmost is the biggest factor for me. So I'm anticipating a good financial aid package, hopefully. But that's where I'm at in terms of my future plans. I intend to transfer and complete the rest of my 2 years in undergrad and apply to law school. Hopefully, I am getting to get that 180 LSAT score and get into a good law school. And my plans for law school is to be working as an intellectual property lawyer and with an emphasis in artificial intelligence, just because I personally feel it's pretty interesting and is going to be a subfield of the coming future that will be a great topic. And we'll need that sort of pioneering in terms of establishing like intellectual property rights in terms of what artificial intelligence creates.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we all wish you the best. And when will you start to hear back from the colleges and universities?
Yeah, so for UCs, I believe it's mid to late April. And then for privates, they're not held to any guideline or standard. So the only thing is, I'll most likely hear back at least an update on decisions. I believe the national reply date is either May 1st or June 1st. So, oh, it's June 1st, June 1st. But what a lot of privates like to do is ask for spring grade requests so that they can like delay and have on a rolling basis throughout the summer. So I realistically speaking, there's a chance I won't know where I'm going for the next 2 years until maybe mid-July if I'm banking on privates. So that's a little nerve-wracking, but around the time of April to like mid-July is when I should be hearing back from most of them.
Yeah, I'm sure the two of you will be texting a lot. Well, that's very exciting. Nicole, how about you?
Right. As mentioned, I'm also kind of in the midst of college applications season. I was able to complete the UCs, but I'm also working on my private applications. In terms of my long-term goals, I would love to return to higher education after completing post-grad. But I've also been looking into doing research. I do research with a Stanford PhD candidate, and she has really inspired a lot of, what I want to do after grad school. So I'm also kind of keeping my options open. I don't think I have a very clearly defined path that I want to take. But I think that's one of the greatest joys in life, just kind of the spontaneity. And I really would love to re-enter education at one point, because I feel like that's what I've discovered within myself, is that I enjoy teaching others, talking to others about what their educational goals are, and learning about the different experiences that are prevalent in the community college system, which is really, I would say, the most diverse system, educational system there is. I mean, we get so many different students from various backgrounds, and I love hearing from them and hearing their experiences and sharing, being able to share mine as well. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, looking to transfer fall 2024. The rest, I'll figure it out at one point.
Yeah, you of course. Yes. And colleges and universities would benefit tremendously from having both of you. And so if they're smart, they'll make a good decision and they'll provide you with substantial merit-based and other aid. Because you'll be alumni and you'll be successful, and they'll be proud to say that, to hear you say that you graduated from their college or university. So excited for both of you. So finally, since California Community College trustees and presidents and chancellors and superintendent presidents are the primary audience for this podcast, I'd like to end to give you an opportunity What would your message be to the trustees statewide and the community college presidents and chancellors, based on your role? And what would you like them to know or to think about or to be conversant with? What would you like them to know? So Cassandra, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so for me as president, I interact a lot with the trustees and with mm-hmm. presidents and chancellors as well, particularly mm-hmm. at league events as well. It's a great opportunity. I think the message I would want to have emphasized to the audience, the primary audience, which is going to be, people part of the league. I would say, remember that students aren't going to be just the typical student. The point of California Community College students is for them to be atypical. Every student you meet is going to be unique and unlike the other one you've met. So I'll say that understanding the importance of the diversity of student voice at the table, and it's not just creating a seat for the student, it's giving them that space to speak, providing them that resource to understand. I would know for me personally, when I first became president and I was put in these spaces, I felt like I did not fit. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know all the lingo. And from trial and error, from forging that space for myself and just asking questions and understanding, I was able to understand that. But not every student is going to have that courage to do so. So it's on the trustees, presidents, and chancellors. When there's a student in the space, it requires that first step of showing students that not only are they prioritized in the fact that there's a seat for them, but they are also prioritized in the sense of the people who are in that space and know the space, giving them those resources, talking to them, making sure they're onboarded properly, making sure they have the right accessibility to attending meetings, attending conferences, making sure they understand what is available for them and knowing that they have that support on that end as well. That would be my message.
Great. Thank you. Nicole?
Thank you. I have quite a few. I think the most important is for trustees, chancellors, CEOs, administration, really to recognize the value of including student perspective in decision-making processes. And it's been great to see districts, colleges, the league really value and prioritize student perspectives, but we can always use more student perspective, especially in shared governance settings. I know at my college at Foothill, students really have lots of opportunities to sit on shared governance committees and really talk about their thoughts within these committees, but a lot of colleges, it's not the same over there. And so a lot of students really feel neglected in terms of how they can really share their input and their perspective to the conversations and decisions that are made by the colleges. So really recognize the importance of including students in any form or any sort of conversation is, I think, the foremost advice that I would give. And I think another one is to focus on the continuous improvement of educational quality and student services, and ultimately really ensuring that academic programs remain relevant, definitely rigorous and responsive to the evolving job market and societal needs. We're seeing a lot of technological advances, AI. How are we going to kind of meet these changes within society and implement them within our educational curriculums to ensure that students are prepared for the evolving society and job market. And I think the last one, I think, is one of my biggest priorities in terms of decision making at the Board of Trustees is to really advocate for sustainable practices and education on campuses. I think it's important to reflect the growing concern among students about environmental issues and climate change. And so when trustees, CEOs, chancellors, administration really put this priority into consideration, it really not only emphasizes the student voice, but also shows a greater respect for our future generations regarding the climate crisis. So that's kind of what I would have to say to the listening audience.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully message received. And when we have this podcast completed, I hope you'll distribute it widely And so that you're also, so your fellow students and also others can hear this. So thank you both so much for spending all this time. Thank you for the work that you do to represent students. And I'm sure I'm joined by everybody who's listening to wish you both the best this term and for the future. And we look forward to working with you, look forward to spending time in Sacramento and also Washington, D.C., so we can make the case for California Community College students. So Nicole Nguyen, trustee board of the league, student trustee, thank you so much. Cassandra Flandre Nguyen, SSCCC president, thank you both for joining us on Leading Community Colleges in California. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us for the next Leading Community Colleges in California podcast for more inspiring conversations with California Community College leaders on their own professional and personal journeys and on the most significant and challenging issues confronting leaders in higher education today.